Now, gay marriage next. The Prime Minister, David Cameron, says the Commons vote in favour of same-sex marriage in England and Wales is a step forward for our country, although fewer than half of his Tory MPs actually backed the legislation. What about our local MPs here then? Well, of our 13 eligible to vote on the gay marriage bill, only 2 voted for it, 9 voted against, 2 didn't vote at all. The DUP's Ian Paisley Jr. spoke out in Westminster yesterday during Yvette Cooper, the Shadow Women and Equality Minister's speech.
I thank my honourable friend for giving way on this issue. However, the facts paint a very different picture. Since same-sex marriages were introduced in Portugal, in Spain and the Netherlands, mixed-sex marriages have decreased quite considerably, indeed by tens and tens of thousands. Well, the facts are clear. In Spain, when it was introduced, 208 people were married in mixed-sex marriages. Last year, 161,000 people were married in mixed-sex marriages. So the numbers are actually declining, not increasing. And therefore, the introduction of this legislation could reduce the number of parties that the member appears to be interested in.
Well, I think say to the honourable member, I think if you looked at the long-term trends in marriage across a whole series of different countries, those that have same-sex marriage and those that don't, I think he would struggle to find a causal connection between the idea that some gay and lesbian couples are now able to get married has somehow meant that the heterosexual couples are all running away from the church door or the registry office.
He's the SDLP MP, Mark Durkin. Good morning to you, Mark.
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. And Pastor Mark Bradfield. Morning to you, Mark.
Good morning.
So we have two Marks.
Confusing.
Yeah, Pastor Mark is how we will refer to you, so that you know Pastor Mark. Well, Mark Durkin, you voted for gay marriage.
Yes, I voted for the second reading of the bill because I support the principle on which the bill was founded, which was that civil marriage should be equally available to same-sex couples as it is to mixed-sex couples. That was the basis on which I committed to support the bill. The bill has widened, however, in its preparation to provide for marriage for those churches, gay marriage in those churches who want to do it, and supposedly to protect the rights of those who don't. Now, I have some questions about the terms and the way in which that aspect of the bill is drawn. And that's why I voted against the programme motion for the bill, which I think leaves too little time for the Commons to properly proof and test whether or not the bill competently and in the best way extends equal rights of marriage to people who are gay, but also protects the sacramental rights of churches in terms of their own rules for matrimony.
Pastor Mark?
Yes, sir. Well, I have to start with what God says, and the very first commandment in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 28, where God calls upon Adam and Eve to go forth and replenish the earth and multiply and subdue it. So the very first commandment in the Bible excludes homosexual marriage. Second of all, there have been many studies done that prove that homosexual marriages just don't work. And lastly...
In what way don't they work?
Well, studies have shown that the faithfulness, if you like, or the fidelity of homosexual partners is without being, well, it's just not great. There is a lot of, most of the, in the studies, it concluded that most of the homosexual marriages that were, in quotes, succeeding had room for the partners to have other partners inside of the marriage.
And of course, straight people don't do that. Straight people, you know.
Well, we have to remember as well that you're talking about 1.5 or 2% of the population.
Sure.
And this is one of the things that actually boggles my mind, is that there is so much fuss over the desires or the wants of 1.5 or 2% of the population. And the thing that really boggles my mind is, and I haven't spoken to a number of even homosexual activists that we have spoken to and debated with over the radio and in private. Why is it that these souls that hate God so much that they're willing to disobey and his commandments, why do they want to get married in church? Why do they want to follow one of God's commandments, if you like, about a man and a woman? The only sexual relationship that is allowed in the Bible is between a man and a woman that are married to each other. Why do they want that? And one last point would be...
Would you refuse to marry someone who's previously been divorced? Because marriage is supposed to be for life. So someone that breaks God's law there and gets divorced, or someone that's had an affair, would you marry them for a second time, give them a second chance?
Well, let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says that wasn't God's plan, and everybody knows that that's not God's plan. Getting married the second time precludes you from some offices and the church.
Yeah, but to those people, here's a better question, Mark, sorry, just to pick up on what you've said, and then Mark, I'll come back to you. For those people who have committed adultery, for those people who have had an affair, do they hate God too? Because you use the term hate God towards homosexuals. Yeah. Do they hate God if you've committed adultery, if you've had an affair? Do you hate God?
Well, it's like this. Maybe hate was too strong a word, but
you used it.
The Bible, yeah, the Bible. I haven't spoken to a number of people. As soon as you mention God, that you can almost see the hackles rising, because they immediately know that what they're doing is not within God's will. Back to your question about people committing adultery, hating God. The Bible says we're all sinners. We're either sinners that are saved through faith in Jesus Christ, or we're sinners that are not.
Mark Durkin, so what you've got here, and it's manifested in Mark Bradfield this morning, his entitlement to have a deep faith and resenting people trying to redefine marriage as it is described in the Bible.
Well, first of all, people are entitled to have a deep faith, and even a not-so-deep faith, if that's where they are. And one of the reasons why I voted against the programme motion yesterday is because I think there are some concerns and misgivings out there. People are afraid that the way in which this bill is going to work is somehow going to leave their church under pressure to change its own sacramental standards, its own rules of eligibility for marriage. I don't believe that the bill will actually do that, but I can see where there are valid concerns, because the bill, in parts, is actually written in quite a scrappy way. It's a bit of a fixed-up mix-up, which would add to people's concerns. And so I wanted Parliament to take more time to make sure that we got it right. What's because this? There are protections in there. I mean, the bill actually says it would be illegal for any premises of the Church of England or any minister of the Church of England to conduct a same-sex marriage. It also specifically provides for certain churches who can conduct same-sex marriages. But there are other churches who aren't named in the bill who are being told, well, you just rely on the fact that we are telling you this. Now, those churches need better assurance. My misgivings about those details of the bill were not such that I was going to allow them to pretend that I did not support the underlying principle of extending the rights of marriage, particularly a civil marriage, to same-sex couples.
So you voted for, Mark Durkin. Your Alliance Party, the Alliance MP, Naomi Long, voted for. Obviously, your SDLP, Mark Durkin.
Yes.
Margaret Ritchie and Alistair MacDonald didn't vote. Could they not be bothered? Was it not important enough to them?
Well, neither of them.
The money that they're paid to take part in important votes, were they...
Well, first of all, Margaret Ritchie had a family bereavement, and she is not in Parliament all this week. She and her brother are next of kin for a member of the family who died. They have issues to deal with, and they are addressing those. So she's not in.
And obviously, I completely understand.
She's not in the House. She's not in the House of Commons.
And my apologies. Hold on, Mark. So it's important for me to say this. My apologies to Margaret for Alistair.
Yes, Alistair wasn't here yesterday. I understand he had meetings, he had other undertakings. But let's be clear, the vote yesterday...
Well, he's your leader. Is this not important enough for... You know, he had meetings?
Well,
What type of meetings?
Well, I don't know. I don't keep Alistair's diary or anything.
Should he have been there?
Stephen, I think people might be more interested in some of the issues that are there in the bill, either the principles that people support that are being extended in law, that would be extended in law under the bill, or the misgivings that people have about what they see.
Does the leader of your party, Mark, you'll understand why I'm asking the question.
Yes.
Does the leader of your party support marriage equality?
Well, yes, because he has said that at party meetings at our party central council in advance of party conference, and also he was there at our party conference, and party conference supported this in principle, the providing for that, as the party voted in the assembly as well.
This is one of the
So that is party policy.
Sure, but this is
party policy. But we are not. But we are not whipped on it because the party fully understands.
No.
That people have
of course.
Matters of conscience. And of course, at the time the vote was taken at party conference, the premise of the bill was slightly different from it is now.
No, I completely understand the party policy, but my point to you is this. This is probably one of the most high-profile votes there will be in the UK this year. And your leader has some other type of meeting that he had to go to, a prior engagement, whatever it was, that he doesn't turn up for a vote?
Yesterday I sat through the debate, almost the whole debate. There was one part of us because I was needed to be at a meeting about ovarian cancer for a short while. But I was there, I voted, and I sat through the entire debate as well because I wanted to reflect on the things that people were saying. And I'm standing in judgment of nobody's conscience as to whether they voted or how they voted.
So you don't think your party leader... You don't think your party leader should have been there?
I know there'll be many people who will be anxious and saddened at the way I have voted, and I want to explain that to them and reassure them as much as I can. But obviously, I'm subject to their... judgment.
I don't know.
I have to account for myself.
Sure, of course you do,
Stephen. And I'm glad to do so.
Yeah, of course you do. But I'll labour the point one last time. It is such. No matter where someone stands, whether they are for marriage for homosexuals, or indeed if they are fundamentally against it, it is such an important issue, obviously, for people in Northern Ireland and people throughout the rest of the UK, that people will be wondering why the leader of one of our political parties couldn't be bothered turning up.
Yes, and yesterday will not be the only vote.
Well, maybe he'll have another meeting the next time.
Well, maybe. There will be quite a number of votes, I would imagine, at what is called the report stage, because I think there are many improvements and streamlinings, I think, that could be done to this bill, although some people were arguing yesterday it has to be done in a very clumsy way because of the whole position of the Church of England as an established church, etc., etc. And I don't know if all that is true. I actually think there's an alternative, more sensible and sensitive way of legislating. I wanted us all to have more time to do that. I wanted it to be done on the floor of the House of Commons so that all of us as MPs could take responsibility rather than just washing our hands of it to a small committee selected by whips, and then we just then say, well, we've very little time.